There were two rich old guys that lived next to each other. On board their land was a pool that joined the two luxurious estates. In this pool, each man had a pet dolphin. Every day, two men stood at the edges of the pool and would argue about whose dolphin was the smartest. And this had gone on for years and years. And one day, the first neighbor says, "Let's do this once and for all." The two men began to devise a test to determine which dolphin was the smartest. They spared no expense. There was obstacle courses, memory tests, and decoding puzzles, hoops to jump through the whole nine yards. As the day of the test came closer, the first neighbor starts to get nervous. He thinks to himself, "What if my dolphin loses? I'd never hear the end of this one." So he decides to drug his neighbor's dolphin. The day of the test arrives and the first neighbor wins with flying colors. He gloats his victory for months, but after a while he begins to feel a little guilty. So he tells his neighbor, "Hey, I have to come clean. I cheated in the dolphin test. I drugged your dolphin. We don't really know whose dolphin is the smartest." His neighbor looks at him downcast and a little disappointed in his neighbor's behavior and action, says, "You know, that really defeated the porpoise." I know, that was bad. That's also bad when Randy told me this morning. Almost, you see, he had a pastor's joke this morning. Don't sit there and cover your eyes, Linda, like that.
Mine was better than yours.
Huh?
Mine was better than yours.
Okay, maybe a little bit. You want to hear his? Why did the rooster go to KFC? You want to hear the chicken strip? Want to see the chicken strip?
Oh.
That's what he told me this morning, so he thinks that's better. I don't know, man. But today I have a message that I do believe is for each one of us. It applies to all of us. But before I get to the message, I want to start by laying a little foundation from God's Word, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, 1 through 3 says this: "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden in Christ in God, with Christ in God." Set your what?
Minds.
Yeah. Set your minds on what? Things above, not on earthly things, not on this world things. In other words, set your mind on things that last, the things that are eternal, the things that God cares about, the thing that God sees. Set your mind on those things instead of things that are temporary and will fade away and just wear out. And sometimes we know we all wear out. Amen. We went to see the grandkids yesterday. Kyle had made me dinner for my birthday, and so we went to see the grandkids, and then we're sitting on the couch, and they just jump on Papa, and I'm finally get done, and they're, you know, I'm sitting on the walls, and I'm like climbing my body, and I'm holding on and flipping over, and we get a truck, and I sit down for a minute, and she says, "So exhausted." I'm like, "Yep, bodies wear out, amen? Things wear out, cars wear out, people, I mean, just..." He says, think on things that are eternal, things that don't wear out, things that aren't going to fade away, those things. And unfortunately, things that we tend to think about the most are things that, A, wear out and fail, but also we think about our fears, our circumstances, our anxieties, our worries, our situations, those things that if we just wait long enough, they're going to pass. That's what we tend to go through our mind with. But Paul says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. What I want to share today is I want to share something I believe it will apply to your life. If you apply it to your life, it will release some of that anxiety, some of your fears, some of your tensions, as you learn to lean on God and His Word. And my prayer is that this message will help you grow in your faith and build more intimacy with God. How many of you like that? Now, how many of you, so what I want to talk about today, before I tell you what, how many of you, what I want to talk about today is I want to call this message, let me see a good word. Let's call this message, what's your headline?
What's your what?
Headline. Headline. And as I talk about headlines, let me give you a bit of shocking information. I know this will probably be a surprise to some of you, but I read the information. Are you ready? Here's the shocking information. Not all headlines are true.
Oh, you mean there's fake news?
Oh, not everything you read on Facebook is real.
Really?
I know. Isn't that something? Surprise! I mean, take for example this one. This one was actually written in April of 1912. Titanic sinking, no lives lost. Actual newspaper clipping. Now, how many of the over 1,500 people died on the Titanic?
Almost all of them.
Yeah, almost all of them. Titanic sinking, no lives lost. That's an actual headline. How about this one? This was actually written in the Chicago Tribune, November 3, 1948. Dewey defeats Truman.
I've got a sworn Truman was a president.
He was. He won the election. Now, to help them out a little bit, now, this was during the writer's strike, or the publisher's strike, whatever they want, a newspaper strike, whatever, and so they had to get up and do an early report, and they just expected Dewey to win because he was the favorite. I mean, he was like everything, so they just expected him to win and at the landslide. And this one, this is actually a little humorous. Go ahead. Babies will disappear in the next 100 years, except imported ones. Echo headline. Babies, now this was actually done. This is one of the several from 1910 that were reported on from the studies of a professor, Walter F. Wilcox, from Cornell University. He predicted that American women would stop having babies by 2015. And that by 2020 rather, the country would be forced to import infants from France.
Somebody forgot to tell the women.
Someone forgot. And so these are just, so not all of these are actually, you know, true real life newspaper reports. They weren't accurate. There are some other headlines that have been printed that are just downright funny. Here's a few for you. Police begin campaign to run down jaywalkers. Now, I'm sorry, there's got to be a better way. Come on, you can't run them over just because you think that they're there, you know? How about this one? Now this one takes the cake. Something went wrong in jet crash, expert says. Duh! Or how about this one? Teachers strike idle kids. Shame on them. They can't strike idle kids. That's not right. And then how about this? Miners refuse to work after death. Well, shame on them. Come on. I can't believe that. Here's another. If strike isn't settled quickly, it may last a while. Oh, here's one. Red tape holds up new bridges. I don't want to drive with that bridge. Keep me away from that one. I don't want to go there that one. And then here's another one for you. New study of obesity looks for larger test group. Now that's pretty wicked to put that in there. Come on. Actual headlines. And so here's the thing. And then who can forget all of the headlines, you know, that we had a few years back when we filled the, you know, it was all filled with fearful headlines. You know, remember Corona? And then, you know, we made fun of the beer company and laughed at it because it was like, you know, that the same name as the beer, and we're like, they're all blaming the beer company for giving us the changed name to COVID-19. Remember all those headlines? It was no longer funny because now people were dying and you had this pandemic. Many people were fearful, and you know, jobs were lost, and just businesses were closed, schools were closed, churches were closed, shortage of toilet paper. I mean, you remember that. And I mean, just all those things that happened, and the headlines that were in there during that season was really negative. There wasn't a lot of positive written down. But again, let me just let you in on a little secret. Most of you, not all headlines are true. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever figured that out yet? I hope so. Why is this? And so here's what I want to talk about today. What I would like to teach you is, with the help of God, is to write your own headline. To write your own headlines. Why is that so important? If you're taking notes, maybe this might be one of the things you want to write down. It's important because you can't always change your circumstances, but you can change your perspective. You can't always change your circumstances, but you can change your perspective. See, the reality is there's a lot of stuff going on in the world and probably in your life that, frankly, you'd rather not have to go through, or better not see, or better not be aware of, or, you know, whatever. There's lots of going on, you just rather not have to go on. Amen? And the truth is, you can't change everything about what's going on in the world. But here's the good news. With God's help, you can change your perspective. What I'd like to do today is share a couple examples of this from Scripture. And in reading those, you almost can pick up the headlines. You can almost, you know, write the headlines, visualize the headlines that would have been happening during that season. First one, Moses sends out 12 spies to spy the land. This was a land that was the promised land. God had promised that this land to the people. So God, you know, Moses sends out the 12 spies to promise to see this promised land. He wanted to know how good the soil was, how, you know, what was going on. I mean, he wanted to know just all the stuff was happening. He just, you know, fun to go and have them tell the story of what's there. And so they all knew this was God's promise. They all knew that this was what God had told them. And listen, sometimes God wants us to trust Him enough in the process to walk into the promises. Sometimes God wants us to trust Him enough to walk into the promise that He's promised to us. And so Moses sends out these 12 spies, to spy out this land because he wanted to know what the soil was like. He wanted to know what the conditions were like. He wanted to know what the people were like. Are there a lot? Are there few? Or whatever. He wanted to know what was going on. They all knew this was God's promised land to them. The Scripture tells us that Moses sent out 12 spies to spy out this land. When they came back, they brought with them two completely different sets of headlines. The exact same situation. They had seen the same thing. They all went and saw identically what it was. The exact same situation. They saw that. And yet two entirely different perspectives of what they saw. One group consisted of Joshua and Caleb. They were out with a very positive perspective. They remembered God had told them it was their land. All they had to do was go and possess it. They remembered that. They saw that. That perspective they went into with. And when they came back, they said, our headline is this: God is with us, and the land of milk and honey is rich in blessings for all. That was their headline. They said, listen, I've seen the people, I saw everybody. But then there's other group. There was this other, and they saw the same exact thing that Joshua and Caleb did. They saw everything they saw. They came back and they, you know, same situation. But these other spies, they that went in, they saw something different. According to Scripture, this is what they said, Numbers 13. But the men who had gone up with them said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among it. The Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are giant size, of great size. And so maybe their headline could have been something like, the land eats people, devours living, avoid at all costs. Same situation, same land, same spy group, saw the identical thing. One said, we can do it. The other said, avoid it. We can't do it. God had promised it. All they had to do is possess it. God had promised it. You just got to stay on the promises of God. Amen. Same exact situation, two very different reports. And here's the truth, church. You can't always change your circumstances, but you can change your perspective. There's another example. The Apostle Paul, and if you know his story, he was transformed by the grace and the mercy of God. He had a light. I mean, he was solid. He went from being a church hater to a Christ proclaimer. And that was good. And so, and he just knew if he could ever get to Rome, that he could, witness to get those people to follow Jesus after his conversion. If he went to Rome, and he kept on begging God, let me go preach in Rome, let me go preach in Rome, let me go preach in Rome. He just wanted to know, because if he got to Rome, everything would be good. This would be a vital city. The gospel could be spread all over the world. So he's begging God, I want to go to Rome to preach. He wanted to go, and he went. But instead of going to Rome to preach, what happened is the Roman government arrested him, beat him, took him forcibly to Rome, locked him up, chained to a guard, and as the leaders were deciding whether or not to behead him, that's where he was at in that situation. And it went from him wanting to go to Rome and preach to being taken there, being wrongfully accused, beaten, and now is in wondering if he's going to get his head taken off. That's where he's at. He made it to Rome, just not quite. He could change those circumstances. Amen? And so it went from that. So can you imagine if there were, media back then, what the possibility of different headlines would be? One might have said, Apostle Paul awaits life execution. Christianity is doomed. Surely there would have, been someone that had to, how papers have their opinions, or get that they write in your opinion. So sure they had those, the opinion column, and someone got on and said something like their opinion said, seven reasons why Christianity will die by the end of the first century. And maybe someone there had a podcast, and the podcast, that their episode that day was the rise and fall of the Apostle Paul. I mean, just think about all the media, all the headlines that could have been written in that moment. But here's the good news. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're not defined by someone else's headline. I showed you. They said Titanic sinking, no lives lost. That was a wrong column. I showed you babies are going to be gone by 2020. We're informed from France. Okay, that's not happening. And so we have all these things that happen, and you can't change. And listen, you don't have to be, your life as a believer, your life as a believer does not have to be defined by somebody else's headlines of you. You may not be able to change what's going on and what you're facing, but you can change how you face and how you look at what you're facing. Your life, your ministry, your family, your marriage, your children, your health is not determined by someone else's headlines. We need to get revelation of this. It's important. If we don't We don't set our mind on earthly things. We set our mind on things above, on things that are eternal, on those things that will last forever. Scripture tells us not to, but let's look at it. Next one. Romans 12:2 says this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Oh. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Let God change the way you think. In other words, it's a shift in your mindset. See, so many times we live a life by somebody else's headlines. By what somebody else says about us, or thinks about us, or you know, does to us. We live our life by that headline. Basically, it's the same as not thinking on what's impure, but thinking on what's pure. It's not thinking about what's wrong, but looking at what's right. It's not being upset about what you don't have, but is being thankful that you do have. Because the truth is, you can't change your circumstances oftentimes, but you can change your perspective on it. It's understanding that we serve a God who is so powerful that He can work in things, everything, the good and the bad, the really things going well for us and things not going. He can cure all those situations for His good and for our glory, for His glory and for His good and everything around it, for everything that we might do according to His purposes. You can let God determine the meaning of whatever you're facing in your life in that moment. That's exactly what Apostle Paul said. That's what he did. He didn't buy into the negative headlines. He's faced one of the most horrible things in his life. Faced one of the most horrible situations that you can imagine. He's locked up, chained to a Roman guard, waiting on the government to decide if he should die or not. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, he changed the headlines. This is what he said, Philippians 1, 12 through 14. Here's my headline, he said. And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows I'm in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. I don't get it. I'm locked up. Why is it that so many times we have something bad in our life happen and we blame God? Let me ask you this. When someone plays a Beethoven symphony, they're playing the symphony, they mess up. Who do we blame? Do we blame Beethoven? Of course not. But yet, we try to blame God so often in our lives. We try to go through and we blame God and everything around us. We try to go through this whole process and blame God because, you know, surely it's there. And so the people say, well, you know, it's the Christian's fault. Well, when you know, Christians are going to mess up, but don't blame Jesus, man. Jesus is still good all the time. He's still God. It doesn't mean that it just means that we haven't represented all that well. We've got to realize we don't blame the people. We don't blame the author. We don't blame Beethoven because, you know, someone else messed up on a symphony. We just have to do that. We understand that. So Paul says they speak the message without fear. Paul could change his circumstances, but instead of thinking why I'm playing the victim here, He says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what happened to me, you may think is bad, it may look bad, it may look like I'm in trouble, but what's happened to me, it actually served to advance the gospel.
It's such a bad thing without
us. Yeah. In other words, I'm locked up to this guy, and I'm preaching to him every single day. I've got a captive audience. He can't go anywhere because if I get out of here, he's dead. So I'm stuck to him, and he's stuck to me. Trying to make the best situation that I can. And so he just finds himself. He finds the good in the situation he's at. He says, I gotta make the best of this. I can't change it. And as a result, he says, it's become clear to the whole palace guard and to everyone else, I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident of the Lord. And in their confidence, they've done more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Paul doesn't buy into the negative headlines. He writes his own. And if Paul were writing his headline, it might say, Roman plan backfires, Apostle Paul preached to captive audience. Paul didn't buy into the negative headlines, but in a very real sense, he made his own headline. Here's the good news, you can do the same thing. No matter what you're facing, no matter what your fear, anxiety you feel is gonna overcome you, you can write, I might be worried, but God isn't. That's a headline. You can't control the circumstances, but you can change your perspective. Let me illustrate with a story I heard about a man. I read about a man who felt like all was lost. There was no hope. He writes this. The story goes like this. A guy picked up his phone, texted his pastor and said, I'm about to give up. Could you meet with me? Because I need some help. They got together and the guy sat down with the pastor. The man said, my marriage has fallen apart and I don't know what to do about it. As my finances, they're a wreck. And I don't know if we're going to be able to keep our home. We might lose it. And with all that I'm going through, I'm starting to doubt God. I'm losing my faith. I don't even know how to talk to God. I haven't seen or sensed him in a long time. I'm in big trouble. My marriage is in trouble. My finances are in trouble. And I'm losing my faith. After the man finished, the pastor looked at his good friend and he said, let me see if I understand this correctly. Because it sounds like you're going through a lot. And the pastor said, so your wife divorced you and that's not speaking to you. The guy said, No, that's not. We're still married, but we're really struggling. The pastor said, oh, okay. He writes those down. And then he said, so if I'm hearing you right, you've lost your job and you're completely unable to work. The guy said, No, I'm still employed. I'm able to work, but things are just really, really tight right now. The pastor said, oh, okay. And he wrote those words down as well. And then he said, and so you lost your faith in God. You don't believe there is a God. There's no sense of God. You don't think God is real. The guy said, no, I still believe in God. I just haven't sensed him in a long time. The pastor looked on and smiled and he said, because we're good friends, I hope you see what I'm doing. I don't want to belittle the challenges that you're facing because you have some real challenges. But from where I'm sitting, I see some real opportunities. I see a marriage that still has a potential. I see a man who still has a job. And I see a Christian who still has a God. And so you can buy into the devil's tired headlines, which is there's no hope for you and you'll never go through this and you'll never heal and you'll never have a good relationship and you'll always be alone and you'll always struggle financially and you'll never be close to God. Or you can change perspective and say, my God is always with me. My God is always for me. Even though I don't like what I see, I know my God is working in me. Church, here's the thing. Since you've been raised with Christ, what you do is set your mind on things above, not things below. Set your mind on things that matter. So we worry a lot about things that don't matter. And circumstances are going to change. Things are going to happen. Things are going to be different. Things are going to turn at some time in your life. Here's what Scripture tells us. Philippians 4:8 says this. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. What we're going to do is we're going to let God write our headlines. And church, if I'm being honest, I've had to learn how to do this myself as well. And I still don't always get it right. Because I've gone through some ups and downs in my life as well. It's not always been, you know, the way it has been. I've had seasons in my life I just would rather not have gone through. At the same time, I look back now and I'm thinking, I'm glad I did, because it showed me how good God is and how faithful God is in the midst of all those things that I thought, oh no, it's over. See, this is what the world's headlines were. I just had to learn to in some of those moments, to just trust God and to let God renew my mind, rewrite my headlines. Because I couldn't change the circumstances, but I did have the opportunity to look at them differently. See, so many times we struggle with that idea. So, let me ask, what's your headline? What's your headline? Is it what you thought it was? Is it what others have told you it was? Is it just what it... What's your headline? I don't know who this is for, but let me just say this. Because if you're in Christ, we don't set our minds on earthly things. We set our minds on things above. We look for the good. We look for God. You know, I just got done preaching a series on you know, letting God see. A lot of times we that provision, that know, things that he does, we don't oftentimes see those things until we look at them backwards and say, oh, there we got that situation. I see where it was. Stop thinking about what you don't have, but look instead at what God has given. Don't complain about what's bad or wrong in your world. Look for the work of God in this world and partner with him in it. Look for opportunities to love people and for opportunities to share the grace of God. And we change our perspective. We can't always change the circumstances. You can't always change the diagnosis. You can't always fix a relationship on your own. You can't always get a child to come back to Jesus. You can't always heal from a hurt. You know, that's happened, a betrayal, and in 3 seconds, you just can't do it. How's your back feeling, Judy?
Pardon me?
How's your back feeling?
Horrible.
Still horrible?
Hurt pretty bad.
All right. I'm going to take a break so you can pray for Judy one more time. I'm believing God's going to heal you back before you leave.
Got a big pump back there.
Because the diagnosis, I'm going to have you rehab like I'd rewrite your headline. So, Father, right now we come to Judy. Lord, you know the situation. God, you know everything going on. Lord, you see how her back is bothering her. But Lord, she has faithfully come here in spite of that. And so Lord, we come to you right now. We boldly stand before your throne, God. I stand your promise. I stand your word. I love your Holy Spirit, Lord. I sense your presence here right now. And I just ask, God, that you just move in the midst of it all right now, God. Whatever, what's your pain level, would you say? What's your pain level? Just 1 to 10, what's your pain level? What's your pain level? 1 to 10.
A little lower
right now than it was.
10 when I came in. It's about a 5 now.
Okay, so probably take the 5. But Lord, we now we can take care of the 5. We can make it, Lord, so it's nothing. Lord, we just right now, we thank you that we just honor you with that testimony. We thank you, Lord, you are healing, and Lord, you have not done. You don't do anything halfway. So right now, we just thank you for that. We just honor you for that. We give you the glory for that. We rewrite the headlines of Judy's life right now. And so we just thank you. We just honor you, God. We just thank you. We believe, God, that before she leaves here today, God, she'll be doing things that she could not do when she came. And we honor you in Jesus' name. Change our perspective. You can't always change your circumstances. What I promise you is that God can turn graves into gardens. So here's what needs to happen today, tomorrow, this week. I really want you to open up a news app. Church, if I'm being honest, you need to stay informed. Amen. I mean, in everything, and turn to whatever your favorite bias group's news source is. I know they're not all factual, by the way. Remember, I hit over to these, for those who came in late, I showed some articles that were in the paper that, you know, Titanic sank and no one died. You know, people did, you know, and, but they wrote it not knowing you, and all this stuff happened. And so I you need to stay informed. So turn on whatever your favorite bias news source is. You can watch that video that played as conspiracy there if you want to. That one of your best friends who stays informed wrote and told it and sent you. And you may not be able to change what's going on out there, but you can change with the help of God what's going on in here. And instead of being postured from a place of fear and anxiety, you can step in with faith and knowing that you're a light to the world, knowing that you're called to God to make a difference, and you can start to call things as that are not as though they were. You can have faith to write your own headlines. And I don't know what your headline would be, but honestly, I hope there's some of you that 3 years from now you're writing your own headlines. You're letting God renew your mind. You're not just defining a situation, but you're letting God help you bring meaning to the situation. So let me just share a few headlines with you, just to give you an idea of how you might see whatever you're facing with the help of God. And these probably won't be yours exactly, but maybe you can with the help of God, use them. Because you can't always change your perspective or your circumstances, but you can change your perspective. Maybe someone here will have this headline. Teen asks for help to escape addiction. And that very thing that's held you hostage for so long, that thing that makes you feel shame and regret, the thing that you're afraid to tell anyone, that thing that you try to get over, but it keeps coming back over and over again. But you finally ask for help, you confess to God, and the headline says, the healing process begins. Oh, what a headline. There may be someone here, your headline is Hurting Woman Cries Out to God. Because you've been betrayed, you've been let down, your heart aches, but instead of saying inward, you look upward, and your headline says, finally finds freedom in forgiveness. Because he who the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. What challenges are you facing? What pain are you enduring? question can't you seem to find an answer to? Where's a hurt that no one knows about? Where's a wound that's been kicked at for years? I promise you, you can't always change the circumstances. You can't change your perspective on the circumstances. You can change what God does in that and through that. It can be a part of your testimony. God walks with you through it. You can write your own headline. The devil doesn't find what happens in your life. The media, oh, God bless the media, because we know they're not always writing the truth, but bless them. They don't define your life. What happens in government doesn't define you. What happens in your job doesn't define you. Whatever someone did or doesn't do doesn't define your life. Where you are today does not determine where you can be tomorrow. You can't always change the circumstances, but you can change your perspective. And so it was the Apostle Paul who said this. I love this. You can see him acknowledging what's real, what brings his own headlines. He brings that perspective, the inside, and he reads this. He says this in 2 Corinthians. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We're hard pressed on every side. You don't even know what I'm going through right now. It's difficult. Oh, you don't, if Pastor, if you knew, oh, it's a hard you would believe. They're coming at us, they're coming for us, but through it we're pressed. But my headline reads, we're not crushed. We may be perplexed, but my headline is, we're not in despair. Oh, we're persecuted, but we're not abandoned. God is so faithful. And then Paul continues in verse 16, he says this. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on not what is seen, but on what is unseen. It says what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So what are you facing today? Set your mind on things above. Set your mind on things unseen. Fix your eyes on Jesus, because he can calm the heaviest of storms. And no matter what you're facing with God, his power, with his love, with his presence, even though you may not be able to change the circumstances, you can change perspective, because we have a God, we serve a God that is so great. Changes not. My God is faithful. And listen, I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what situation is in your life. I don't know what's happened. Maybe you've been discouraged, distraught, abused. Listen, that doesn't have to be your headline. Thinking, change my way, change my thoughts, change the things that just, I've had to allow God to say, listen, don't play a victim. And I've learned that He is so faithful. He is so good, even though the world we live in is fallen. Spies, we knew that the promise of God was at their fingertips. He said, go possess the land. They came back and they said, oh, we can't do it. 10 did. The Bible says Joshua had a different spirit. They had a different perspective. So Father, today we come. And Lord, I know that there's been some people here that the headlines have always been maybe not so good. The culture, the society has thrown them aside. The people have been
looking at whatever headline we might have walked in with.
give you the honor. We give you the praise. For you are worthy of it all. And the church said,